my name is Farida, and I'm the Director of Client Services for Wellness Factors. And I'd just like to welcome everyone to our Tele Lunch and Learn workshop on goal setting. And with us today is Linda Edgecombe. Linda is a renowned speaker. She's a life coach, and she specializes in the area of motivation and accountability. Linda is a best-selling author. She's written a book called Shift or Get Off the Pot, which is a great name for a book, by the way, Linda.
Thank you.
And I hope we'll get a chance to talk about this today. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we dig into some of the questions, I wanted to talk a little bit about goal setting. And looking at back at some of our discussions with our XM product development team, I really wish we called the workshop One Step at a Time.
Yeah.
Because when I think most people who really struggle with reaching their goals, they don't realize that their goals need to be broken down into smaller, achievable goals. So today we'd like to learn not only how to set goals in a way we can achieve them, but once they are set, then how do we actually maintain them and make them a reality? You know, a classic example of this is when January rolls around and we make New Year's resolutions to join a weight loss program or join a gym or eat better or spend more time with our spouse or our children. And then by February or March, these goals have fallen by the wayside and they become a distant reality. So that being said, let's get started. So, Linda, for the people who sort of rush out of the gate to set goals, like the A personalities, what advice can you give to them for setting goals? And normally with this personality type, the glass is always full and the sky's the limit.
I think for anybody who's listening, it's important to understand that there's a variety of personality styles when it comes to setting goals, and whether you are very driven. Some people like setting goals and some people do not. In my example, I spent a week up at Big White skiing, and my husband is a very driven A-type personality. One of my girlfriends, same, and they're like, okay, this year I'm going to do this, this, and this, and they're going, so Linda, what are you doing this year? And I'm like, you know what, I haven't even put a whole lot of thought to it. And I think what's important is that it's okay whatever type you are. So whether you are driven or you're not, be okay with that. There is no right or wrong here. Lots of A-type personalities can tend to lean towards the perfectionistic style of personality, and sometimes that in itself can hold you back from writing down goals. For me, the most important thing I could tell you on this particular question is the goal, and you're going to hear me say this a lot for the next 30 minutes, the goal is not about the goal. The truth is that most of us don't write goals because we think, what if I don't get there? And A-type personalities will write down a goal if they think and they know in their heart and mind that they'll get there. My strong belief that I've seen over the now 20 years of doing this kind of work is the point of goal setting is to just get started on the goal. Mm-hmm. And that's tough for an A-type perfectionistic type personality to swallow, because for them, if they don't reach base camp, I just came back from base camp, then they feel they failed the goal. And I completely disagree with that philosophy. I believe that we are not on this planet to die. I mean, we are going to die. That's the goal. The point is that you have all these crazy and wonderful lessons along the way. And for me, the goal, whether you're A-type or you're a more relaxed style of personality, that you just start on the goal. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about how you do that as well.
Yeah, that's great advice, Linda. So on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have folks that have a hard time even setting that goal, like you had spoken about, and they're stuck, and maybe there's this fear of failure that sets in. And what advice can you give to those folks, about just getting over that fear of failure?
One of the questions I ask when I do my workshops and keynotes and such is, and it's actually the very, very first page, because I'm a big believer in just getting started, like I said. The very first page of my book, I say, go directly to page 129 and answer the question that's there. And here's the question that I ask. And so this is a great place to start if you're a bit more relaxed in your personality. If you were given 2 extra hours in a day and you cannot do one thing that is career or job-related, what would you want to do at that time? So whatever that might be, whether it's gardening or reading or hanging out with your kids or going for a walk or getting outdoors or doing your sport or going golf, whatever your thing might be, jot those things down. The biggest part of this is literally putting pen to paper, not even so much as putting fingers to your keyboard on your computer, but literally pen to paper. that is a skill in itself, that there's a connection between your brain and it's kinesthetic. When you can physically write stuff down, you will start the reaction of moving towards it. The majority of us, though, never write a darn thing down outside of our workplace. We write down goals in our workplace because, you know, we're okay with the parameters of work, and we've bought into the idea that, yes, I'm going to get these goals and objectives done this year. But the truth is, outside of work, we have fallen off the mark when it comes to jotting down just a few things I might want to actually act on this year. If you actually get a few things down on paper, whether you ever look at that piece of paper again, you got about a 50-50 chance you'll do something about it, because quite frankly, all you've done is you have moved it to the front of your brain, and so it's obviously more in your cognitive, you know, view site. So things will remind you, and you'll. But the funny thing is, we think, this whole fear of failure thing, we think if I have it in my head, and all of us have this stuff in our heads, and if I put it on paper, what if I don't do it?
Mm-hmm.
And we think, oh my gosh, and if I tell you, Frida, that I'm going to go and do this goal, what if I don't do it? Frida's going to think I'm a loser. Well, the fact is, no, Frida's not, because Frida's not thinking about me at all.
Yeah.
Right? What is Frida thinking about?
Right, not you.
Not you, not me. She's thinking about herself. And so the funny thing is that the science behind this, and it happens every time, and I've been doing this with literally tens of thousands of people, take stuff out of your head, put it down on paper, put it on something that's kind of nice, maybe stick it on your desk, but it's just a small reminder, and quite frankly, and here's the tough part, it doesn't matter whether you get it done or not. The point is, most of us never write anything down, but if you actually get it on paper, you got at least a 50-50 chance you'll move on it.
And I think that's great advice, Linda, because I know when I was studying at university, the notes that I actually wrote down, I remembered, and the notes that I actually typed up, I had a harder time remembering. And so yep. There is definitely, I think, a connection. And with computers these days, we tend to want to lean towards typing out things. But yeah, that's
I agree.
Write it out.
It's a science, and yeah. I jokingly say you're going to get cramps in your hand because so few of us hand write anything anymore.
I know. That's really great advice. So now that we've talked about setting goals, how do we actually maintain these goals? Because now that we've got them written down on paper, so let's start with the A personality type. They generally love starting projects, but they have a harder time maintaining them. What tools could they use to help maintain their goals?
Okay, well, the truth is, regardless of what style, whether you are A type or, I won't even say, I keep wanting to say B type, but, or more relaxed, like me, you're more relaxed. We are exactly who we are sitting here today, everyone listening, because of the habits that we have. Mm-hmm. And one of the best tips, and this actually tip came from my older sister, Diane, and because a lot of us, you know, it's this time of year, we're thinking, oh, God, I'd like to get in better shape, or I want to feel better about myself, because we overindulge always over Christmas. But because we are exactly who we are because of our habits, I always say you must always, always, always do something on a Monday.
Oh, that's interesting.
Always, always do something on a Monday. So whether that means you're going to physically go and do something on a Monday, or you're going to start that book on a Monday, or you're going to spend that fun time with your family on the Monday, whatever the goal is that you have written down here, you're going to start your painting class, learn guitar, whatever that might be, always do something on a Monday. Now, we're sitting here, and what day is it?
It's Thursday.
It's not Monday. So if you have something, and you listen to this call today, something in your head that you wanted to kind of get started, you absolutely have to start today. And here's why. If we do something on a Monday, then we tend to do something on a Wednesday. Sometimes we even do it on a Thursday. We might even do it on a Saturday. If we wait till Wednesday, Wednesday tends to turn into Saturday, which turns into next week.
Okay,
that's just, and by the way, this is just human behavior. Not right or wrong, just human behavior, so let yourself off the hook a bit. So if you're keen and you're listening to this call, because today is not a Monday, it's a Thursday, I just want to say whatever is in the forefront of your head right now, just make a little note, walk, take the stairs, drink another glass of water, do it today. Because I guarantee you if you do it today, the snowballing, motivation is a physics equation. It's about literally moving into something and then letting the snowball effect, letting inertia take over. So that habit thing is number one for me. And that will start to change the habit. Here's the other thing. So I'm a fitness person. I've always been active, but I kind of go hard, I kind of relax. That's okay. So don't feel as if you're going to start a program and what if I knock off 2 months down the road, but you'll pick it up again. And you know what? Give yourself some slack here. It's okay. Better to start and just move on something and see how that goes. The second part of, you know, how do we maintain goals is we overthink everything. And so whenever whether you're going to go for a walk, take the stairs, drink more water, call a friend, when you go to do that, your head's going to kick in. Oh, I probably should be checking my emails. Oh, Oprah's on and it's a makeover show. Oh, you know, it's raining outside. No, you got to go in your head and you say this over and over and over. Don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. And you literally don't, I know this sounds, you're going to think I'm a maniac now, you'll hang up. But you literally don't think yourself, it's a little mantra, into doing what you wanted to do in the first place. And I've had so many people, you know, in their offices say, you know, we're going to go for lunch tomorrow, and we got in the elevator, and all the ladies are going, yeah, but I'd rather go for, you know, wontons. Oh, no, remember, don't think. And they all say, don't think, all the way down the elevator and out the door. And I always say, don't think your way into doing whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Stop. Just do it. Hey?
Stop overthinking stuff.
Yeah.
Don't let your head kick in. And that's a good one for Frida because she is a thinker. She overthinks.
No kidding.
I just only know her a couple days, but she's an overthinker.
That's so true, Linda. So what would you say are the most common mistakes people make when setting these goals or just starting? And how do you really attain the life that, you know, your dream for? I mean, is it fear that's holding us back? Like, what are the common things that people do?
I think a common, not even mistake, a common thing that most of us don't know about ourselves, so self-awareness, is we don't really understand the ground we actually stand on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a clear sort of vision of what I really value. Okay, so if you're setting some goals for yourself this year and they're based on somebody else's values, well, the fact that, I mean, to try and go out and do something that you don't really buy into in the first place, I mean, you're not going to go after it. So I'd say if you're going to do anything to sort of start the process after this call, you know, I'd spend the next, you know, half an hour just sort of thinking, okay, what are the top 20 things that I really hold in high value in my life? And if you Google the word value or values, you're going to get hundreds of words that you can kind of look at and go, and you can choose from them. You know, okay, I never thought of that one, never thought of that one. So I'd say, you know, get about 20 of those down on paper, things that you really hold near and dear to your heart. They mean a lot to you for January 2010. And, you know, our values do change as we change and grow. Then I'd whittle those down to 10. You know, what are 10 really important ones? Whittle those down to 5 and literally take those 5 and post them somewhere, you know, around your desk at work or maybe in the kitchen or somewhere. And from that, I know, and then I say go number 1, number 2, number 3. Your top 3 values.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the tough part. If you can actually start to base your decisions on your top 3 to 5 values, goal setting is a breeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we understand.
Maintaining goals that are housed within what you hold near and dear. So if health, and this is a health call, mm-hmm. if your health is on that list, and I'll be honest with you, I hope it is, because mm-hmm. you're on the call, then part of what you do for yourself, is your goals, will be easier to maintain because it's something you hold near and dear. If relationships with your kids is important, then you will spend time, you'll make decisions and goals based on that. I hope this makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what I hear from this is that we really need to develop like a deeper meaning to our goals. So it's not like, okay, I want to lose 25 pounds. We could add to that, I want to lose 25 pounds so my pre-diabetic state doesn't become diabetes.
Right.
You know, so there's more meaning to that.
Some of the initial, especially around weight loss, the initial motivation is, okay, so I'll be honest, I'm turning 50 this year and I'm pretty motivated. I literally have a blog called 50 Weeks to 50, and I originally thought I'm going to lose 50 weeks in the 50 weeks leading up to my 50th birthday. Well, no, that's not going to happen. Anyways, so like I said, so that was the goal. What I found, though,
mm-hmm.
is that I write in my blog every week that the journey of turning 50 is more about what I write about. It isn't about what I'm losing weight.
Yeah, there's so much about the journey.
So it starts out as I want to look better, but the truth is I have back problems because I have extra weight on my body and I have, you know, neck. So the truth, I have to get honest with myself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and getting honest is sometimes tough, isn't it?
It is. Looking in the mirror is a tough, tough thing for all of us.
I know, especially in the area of relationships as well. I mean, sometimes one of our goals may be to, you know, have a better relationship with this relative that, you know, you've been in conflict with for many, many years. And those are always tough ones to even just tackle.
Yeah. You know, I think, and the truth is, over the years, as I've talked about, I talk a lot about work-life balance, and being physically active has always been the soapbox I've stood on. I mean, I have a Zed degree, I work for Participation, I've been like, go move, get oxygen in your blood system. Don't get me wrong, it's number two on my list, but the number one on my list for sure that I sort of stand on the soapbox now is around relationships, because literally we will live longer, we recover quicker when we're sick, we have way less stress, and we have a much stronger, consistent thread of happiness throughout our lives if you have strong, nurturing relationships around you, than a marathoner with no one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think community is very important. We've talked about that a number of times in the tele-luncheon workshops as well, because we do quite a number of workshops on relationships.
There are, you know, I've read different mental health statistics that say we need somewhere between 4 to 7 people in our support network around us. It could be a combination of whether it's family, friends, coworkers, whatever, that you can go to no matter what's going on for you. There's no pretense, nothing's attached. You can just be yourself. And most of us only maintain maybe 2 strong, you know, relationships like that, you know, a spouse and a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But 4 to 7, so they take maintenance. And, you know, and men and women, and here's the thing, we maintain relationships differently.
We do.
So we have to not judge in that. The truth is, and I think men have this, have it better than we do, because they will, there's way less attached to it. They can pick up a phone, call a buddy they haven't talked to in 6 months. They don't, there's nothing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey, how you been? How are the kids? Blah, blah, blah. They pick up, no big deal. Then women, we're like, well, you haven't called me. I'm not calling you, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
Get a little catty. All right. So next question is, I want to sort of move into the whole area of accountability and when we're setting our goals. And I know for myself, I meet a friend on Thursday nights to work out. And that's the one night a week I'll be working out for sure. I mean, she is a go-getter, so she really helps me. And on your website, Linda, you talk about this whole area of guilt-free accountability, and maybe you could tell us about that.
Well, again, very much attached to goals is, you know, how do we get stuff done without feeling bad if I don't?
Mm-hmm.
And that is just probably, that's just something all of us have to grow up around, is cut yourself some slack. So accountability definitely is attached to people around you. There's no question. I am definitely way more accountable right now because I went and hired myself a trainer. Now, I did the painful thing and wrote the check, so that keeps me a bit more accountable. But, yes, he expected me this morning, and he's going to expect me again tomorrow morning. And so, yeah, I'm a little bit more dialed than I would be without him.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that the boat does not land in your driveway by just thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you have to think about the goals you have. You have to literally jot them down on a piece of paper. You might want to clip out a picture of something, or, you know, I do vision boards. I do them once a year with my staff. We take a whole day, and I love it. Put the music on, bring out the wine later in the day. It's a wonderful process. So you get the vision down on paper. You then literally have to start telling people around you, this is what I'm going after this, and this is where most of us never take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So the accountability piece is letting other people around you know what you really want to do, because yes, you feel compelled, you have to do it, because most of us do not, we are, you know, wired to not want to fail, mm-hmm. and we've done it before, most of us have failed, you're going to fail again, but the truth is we will act more accountable if we have that process. So you have it in your head, you write it on paper, you tell somebody what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing, so you want this boat. And your buddy says, well, what do you want to spend? And you say, I don't know, I got $1,500. And he goes, well, it's kind of a dinghy, not really a boat. but one day your buddy's driving down a side road, and there's a boat there in the ditch, right, for sale, $1,500. Now, so you didn't see the boat, but your buddy did.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So is that woo-woo? I mean, we say that if we put our goals out there in front of people, things start happening. It's not woo-woo.
Yeah.
It's just that if the more people you tell, the things more come to you. Here's what, for those of you who are goal setters on this call right now, and you know this, if you're a goal setter, you know how quickly things start to happen once you set them.
Totally.
Right? They start happening, you're like, wow, that happened pretty fast. So then you sit with yourself and you go, well, now what? See, it's the now what I think that scares the crap out of us more than anything else does.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start realizing you can actually do way more than you're currently doing, and all of us can, you're way more powerful than you. You know, we've heard this. It seems like, oh, yeah, whatever, just blah, blah, blah. Talk. No, it's the truth. So it's the now what that scares most of us, because then you have to move your goalpost a little further out.
Mm-hmm.
The goal becomes a bit more of a stretch.
Yeah.
And it takes energy.
Yeah.
And most of us, to be honest with you, want to sit where we are and hover. Mm-hmm. Because where we are right now, for most of us on this call, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, totally.
Okay? I'm assuming that the clients that are on this call, we're all doing pretty okay. Mm-hmm. We're in a warm environment. I mean, I'm just talking about perspective shifting. We could talk about that this morning. You know, because what just happened in Haiti. I mean, you want to change how you think about what's going on for you? Just turn on the TV right now.
Yeah.
So we hover, and we hover because it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. Okay? Stretching takes a bit of energy.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you talk about going public with your goals. I mean, I was reading an article over the holidays, and who we choose to be in our accountability circle is important, too. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. And how I started this, and I don't know if we'll have time for this, but many years ago I would get together with some girlfriends who I thought were sassy. They're fun. They're go-getters, so I like their energy, and we'd drink wine about once a month and eat popcorn. And one of the times we got together, we said, well, what do you want to do next year? I don't know. What do you want to do next year? I said, well, hey, why don't we all get together in about 3 weeks, bring our goals for next year, and we'll keep each other, you know, there's about five of us, keep each other, you know, accountable. We'll have breakfast meetings. We won't drink so much wine. And so we did. So we came to the table this one particular morning, and all of us had, like, it was funny. Somebody had a note on literally on a napkin. Somebody brought their process or their whatever goals and objectives policy manual from their company. I mean, we just had the wildest. I had goals I'd written probably 3 years before this, had never looked at, and was quite surprised how many I'd done because I'd never looked at it. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, this wasn't exactly what I thought we were going to do, but why don't we put a little more thought into this? Mm-hmm. And for the next year, we'll keep each other accountable. We'll meet once a month, you know, for wine and popcorn, and talk about it. And once a week, we'll email each other with what we're doing for the week. Because you talk about how do you break it down into chunks.
Yeah, that Monday thing.
Right.
Start on Monday.
So that's fine. So we started emailing each other every Monday morning, and it had to be before noon, with what we were doing for the week and what we did or did not get done from the previous week. And there was nothing attached to it. You just had to do it.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
No guilt. You got some stuff done. You didn't get some other stuff done. And then each month we'd say, well, what, especially if something's kept getting pushed off, mm-hmm. then we'd look at a little bit deeper, what's going on there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we started doing that, and we're like, wow, things are happening. Well, I, as a speaker, went out probably about a week later, and I'm speaking at a big event in Saskatchewan, and mostly men, it's a safety conference, and there's probably 500 people, and I just threw out a challenge to the men in this audience this day. I said, okay, well, I would like you to do, and I don't know why I did this, I thought, oh, it's men, they're not going to do it. I said, I want all of you to email me, I gave my email address, next week with what your next week's to-do list looks like. And I said, but on it, I want one or two things that has more meaning for you than the average. I've got to go to work, got to drive the kids to hockey, whatever the normal stuff was. And I thought, who's going to email me? I got about 380 emails in
my
email. And I said, it had to be Monday before noon. And I sat there, and what they were telling me, I went, I was blown away by, A, how personal some of these notes were, but there were some major consistencies in what people said they wanted to get done that week. I want to spend more time. Most of them, number one was physical activity. They wanted to get a bit of physical activity. And number two was spend some time with their kids or their spouse. And number three was whatever their hobby might have been. It could have been their own sport or hunting or whatever. But I started doing this every time I speak. I've done it for 7 years now, literally tens of thousands of people later, who have to email me on Mondays before noon. And just to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. See, because I'm a no one to them. But if you really want to get things done, get a group of friends together. Yeah. And it can be a work group, or it can be an outside of work group.
Right.
It doesn't have to be big.
Yeah, and people that care. And when it goes, like, it's a two-way street where you're holding someone accountable and someone's holding you accountable, it's almost like a reciprocal thing, too.
Exactly.
And, you know, and you can make it fun, too, you know.
Like, that's all we did.
The fact that you've got the wine and the popcorn,
yeah.
I think that's fun, right? So, I mean, it doesn't have to be a tough thing.
An outliner and a manual, mm-hmm. if any of your callers are interested. Mm-hmm. It's on my site. You can see it. It's very inexpensive. It tells you the whole process. It tells you week after week with the questions, how you sort of get down to your personality, what that does, the goals, the to-dos, the barriers that get in the way. Anyway, it's all. I've done it with corporate groups and with personal groups too.
No, that's awesome. I was reading an article in a magazine called Real Simple, and an article called
Love That Magazine.
Yeah, it's an awesome one. 9 Secrets of Motivated People. And there was a story of a girl that she's a teenager when she started smoking. And she tried to quit smoking and she couldn't. She tried, she went on and off. And this whole idea of trying to quit smoking was just a really tough thing. And then her husband came up to her and said, you know, I just want to spend the rest of my life with you. And that's a great example of guilt-free accountability. He didn't say, well, you know what, I really wish you'd quit smoking. He just said, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And it's important to me. And then a year later, she quit. So, you know, when we have deeper meaning to our goals and when we have people that really care about
attached
us.
Attached to your values.
And attached to the values, that's right, Linda. I really feel that it makes that whole goal-setting process a reality. So, the next question I have is, you know, in life many of us want abundance. I mean, whether it be in their relationships, at work, in their finances, but there's this dissatisfaction. And I don't know if it's just maybe it's people's perspective or what does someone do to change their perspective on their life and to get what they want? I mean, on your website, you talk about this deferred life plan. I like that. And because, you know, things never really just happen overnight.
I always say, sell your shares in the deferred life plan. And culturally, you know, as North Americans, we culturally live on the deferred life plan, meaning that we go through our entire life putting it off, putting something off until something better comes along. We come out of high school waiting for a college to finish. We come out of college waiting to find that next job. We come looking for that whatever salary. That, oh, maybe if I was in a relationship, I'd be happier. Then you get in a relationship, you're going, okay, that wasn't quite it. Then I always say, you know, you drink a bottle of wine one night, the two of you, and you go, well, maybe if we had some kids, you know, we'd be happier. We'll feel more fulfilled. And then you have kids, and you're like, well, okay, when those kids move out of the house, then I'm going to have all this time to do all the things I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And at some level, I mean, most people on this call, because it's pretty normal, we have a bit of low-level resent towards this crazy thing we call a job, because supposedly this job is getting in the way of our lives.
Yeah.
But the truth is, just start. So when I ask the question about what would you do with the 2 extra hours, I specifically and very mindfully want people to think about their life outside of work, because when you address your life outside of work, it affects how you see your work. Mm-hmm. You start to be re-energized towards the work you do, and you lose the low-level resent towards this crazy thing we call work. But perspective shifting, I kind of touched on it, and maybe because it's just, you know, it's so timely with what's happening in Haiti. Mm-hmm. It's about looking at what's going on for you right now. Perspective shifting does not mean you deflect or defer anything or negate anything that's going on for you, because for sure on this call there's some people having some tough times right now.
Okay.
It means you put it in a bigger context. We do not live in BC or Alberta or Saskatchewan or Toronto or wherever you live right now. We don't live there. We live in a big global world, and we are very attached. Our energy is attached. Our economies are attached. I mean, everything is attached if you believe in that kind of energy. And so you just got to say, this is going on for me, but right now there's some other people suffering way worse than me. So the fact that I got this pile in my inbox, well, I'll get to it. And perspective shifting is a coping skill, but it's a skill that takes practice. Okay, so if you're the kind of person who tends to see the negative more often than not, the reason you have is because it's become your habit, mm-hmm. and what you have to do is just catch yourself. Mm-hmm. So you catch yourself, well, geez, that was kind of down there.
Yeah.
That's kind of a crank. And when you catch yourself, you can say, okay, well, let me see what else is going on around me. Mm-hmm. You know, lift your head up and go, what's going on around me? And can I shift my perspective for this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do it, the more you will do it. That's why people who are fairly upbeat and positive most of the time are upbeat and positive most of the time, because it's a habit for them.
That's right. No, that's a really good point. I mean, you know, when I take a look at some of the people I know who have started businesses and, you know, we look at them and think, wow, they're really successful. They got lots of money or whatever how you define success. I don't think it's just about money. I think it's about much more than that in life. But, you know, they all seem to have this rags-to-riches story. We don't, you know, none of us has $1 million popped into our account to start something.
Yes.
And we can think of many reasons not to start. And, and I just think that's just that whole idea of starting and those baby steps, taking those small steps to just to reach those sort of those larger things that you want in life are so important.
I think I mentioned this when you and I first met. I surveyed my entire database about a year ago now, and I asked the question, what does there look like for you? Mm-hmm. Right? So there, for all of us, if you want to talk, say the word abundance or success or achieving or whatever, we all define there differently. Mm-hmm. The truth is most of us haven't defined it, but we're going after it.
Yeah.
Whether it's work, relationships, nicer home, a something. And I said, what does there look like for you? And do you have the ability to celebrate some of the milestones along the way? 99.5, maybe probably 0.75% said no, they weren't there yet. Not even close. That's what most people said. The very small percentage that felt that they were there and living their life there and knew how to celebrate there had a fairly strong sense of their own spirituality. And they all define that word spirituality differently. But that was the only common denominator I could figure out for the folks who felt that they were there. But majority of us didn't know how to define it. Mm-hmm. So how do we then celebrate some of the benchmarks along the way?
I know, exactly.
And we need to be able to do that.
Definitely, because it just helps us continue and get through those bumps, when we're going towards those goals or whatever we want to reach in life. I mean, we just got to remember that there's going to be bumps along the way, and we got to celebrate all those successes and give ourselves a break.
Absolutely, permission.
Yeah.
I say give yourself permission to be okay.
Yeah.
My guess is that the truth is most of us, the word there, however you define it, it's mm-hmm. closer than you think.
Yeah, no, that's a great perspective.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. So we're just coming to the top of the hour, and before we close, I just wanted to summarize what we've learned today. And so we want to make a plan, and when we do make a plan for ourselves and we write them down, as Linda says, we need to anticipate bumps along the way. I mean, I think we just can't, when we're setting our goals, there's never smooth sailing. We just got to...
That's what popcorn's for.
Yeah, we can't just spend wine and anticipate those bumps. And I also think we need to make sure that our goals don't run wild. I think they got to be realistic. And when we, the journey is, what's that saying? The journey is a number of small steps along the way or something like that. So we just make sure our goals don't run wild. And I like that idea of start on a Monday. And if a Monday doesn't work for you, maybe start on a Tuesday. But
Thursday, so you got to start today.
So Thursday, but pick a day to just start and make that day just that bouncing off point that allows you to set your goals. And then the whole idea of going public with it. I like that idea because that just brings in people into your life. There's a sense of community with it. It's fun and it's accountability. Like
and I know
Linda's group of friends.
And most people
great idea.
Hate the idea of going public. I know that.
Yeah.
I recognize it. But if you do, man, you just wait to see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guarantee you.
Yeah. And so when we anticipate those bumps, the next thing is lean on a support crew and really reach out to them. And then the next point is remember to add deeper meaning to your goals, like the girl that we talked about who wanted to quit smoking because her husband wanted her to live a long and abundant life. And when we add more meaning to the goals, it just makes them more achievable for us. And then the last point is make yourself a priority. I mean, in our hectic lives, we sometimes just don't make us a priority. And that's very typical of moms who are stretching all different directions with their kids and work and all of that. And for men themselves who are stretching, in their lives as well.
So, I say give yourself permission.
Yeah, give yourself permission is a good one. Yeah, so I also wanted to mention a few tools on our wellness portal. If your goals are in the area of relationships, there's some great information on this subject on the main menu of Relationship Health. There's also a parenting assessment that I thought, because we always want to say we spend time with our kids, and there's a parenting assessment online that you can take, and there's also a maturity assessment that's excellent, too. And if your goals are in the area of nutrition or losing weight, we suggest you sign on to the Calorie Nutrition Counter or the Meal Planner, and that allows you to actually track the foods that you eat. So, and of course, as always, we encourage you to contact your EAP or your counselor, if you're struggling with any mental health-related issues. So, Linda, I just wanted to thank you so much. It was just great talking to you. And I just wanted to close off. Do you have any closing remarks? And also, if you would just take this time to talk a little bit about your book and your website address so if people want to get in touch with you, they can.
You know, as far as just closing remarks, the point is just get started. Literally, just start something and see where it takes you. I couldn't shake people enough to say just move on anything and you will be pleasantly surprised. If you want to read more about, certainly my, I got a great blog at my address, which is lindaedgecombe.com. So it's LindaEdgecombe.com. Lots of video, lots of very humorous stuff on YouTube if you like to have a good laugh. And my book is also available everywhere, as well as on my site. Shift or get off the pot.
Okay, yeah. That's awesome. Thanks very much, Linda. It's just been great talking with you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.